Why is it that the advent of September, with all its glorious apple-ripe mornings, can sometimes evoke in us a feeling of loss? Is it an echo of the melancholy we felt as children with the ending of carefree summer days and the start of another school year? Or is it a natural phenomenon that happens to all Earth's creatures as the year begins to slowly come to an end? Even when the late August sun shows no sign of waning, this sadness can sneak up on us and catch us off guard. It might start as an ache, a hint of melancholia in the pit of our stomachs, a longing deep in our hearts. It might be prompted by the sight of a cobweb glistening with dewdrops in the early morning light. Or later, at the kitchen sink, an earwig might escape from the dahlias you've cut for your windowsill. And there it is, that stab of yearning, even as you capture the creature and ferry it back outside. And as you place it in the garden, there it is again, that wistfulness, that pang of sadness, telling us autumn is coming, the year is dying, the days are growing shorter. The well of grief inside you threatens to overwhelm. Sometimes your eyes fill with tears, startling even you, who thought you had all this grief under control. Most of us have had life-altering events in our lives. Most of us know what it is to suffer the heartbreak of losing a child, a spouse, a dear friend. We've had to learn to pick ourselves up, to salve over the grief, to bury the sorrow deep inside ourselves, and face the world with a brave front. I believe the Irish language deals with emotions in a very good way. There is an Irish word, uigness, which we learnt in school as children. It is a deeply evocative word that can mean loneliness or sadness or even a sense of solitude when one feels a need to be quiet and alone. Rather than saying, like we say in English, I am sad today, the translation into Irish gives us Tá uigeannas orm inniu. Sadness is upon me today. Sadness is only visiting me today. I will nod at it, recognise it, but it will soon pass. It will soon be gone. We say the same about happiness. Tá áthas orm inniu. Happiness is upon me today. Today I am happy. How wonderful is the Irish way, though. Rather than the grief or joy defining us, it is only upon us for a time. These emotions will pass. I will recognise them, pay attention to them, but soon they will be gone. They don't permeate my whole being. They don't become me. They don't define me. The tradition of wearing a black armband or a small black diamond sewn onto the upper sleeve of a coat has died out now in Ireland. What a pity this is. Being aware that someone is in mourning can spark a compassion and an understanding that may not have been there before. It's a signal to be careful, a reminder that we should be gentle in our interactions with that person, a caution that they have lost a loved one. On a shelf in my living room beside where I sit at night are four photographs. There used to be three there until recently, when I had to add a fourth. These photographs are of beloved family members and friends who have died, the latest only last November. When I look at the image of one or other of them, I can say, today, my dear sister, just for a moment, Tá uigeannas orm when I think of you. Living is hard sometimes. It's not easy. We must learn to navigate our way through all the obstacles life throws at us. But to experience deep grief, we must also know what it is to deeply love. To love and to suffer means we are human beings. It is all part of life's rich tapestry. Along with the well of grief inside us, there is also a deep well of joy. And just like grief can catch us unawares, so also can joy. We must learn to harness it, take it out when we need it most, to constantly look for ways to be surprised by joy, as William Wordsworth says in his poem, which he wrote in memory of his daughter Catherine, who died when she was 3 years old. We must constantly try to make the moment sacred, to use one of Gavin's words. Some of my favourite Irish writers write about just that, finding the sacred in the ordinary. finding joy in the everyday. The cool that came off the sheets, says Seamus Heaney, writing about that most mundane of tasks, folding sheets with his mother in the kitchen. So we'd stretch and fold and end up hand to hand for a split second as if nothing had happened, for nothing had that had not always happened beforehand, day by day, just touch and go, coming close again by holding back in moves when I was X and she was O, inscribed in sheets she'd sewn from ripped out flour sacks. Seamus Heaney's words elevate this ordinary domestic chore of folding sheets just off the line into a ritual of love between a mother and her son. When all the others were away at mass, Seamus Heaney also writes, I was all hers as we peeled potatoes, broke the silence, let fall one by one, like solder weeping off the soldering iron. Again, an ordinary domestic chore like peeling potatoes has been made sacred by turning it into a homage of love to his mother. But those wells of grief and joy inside us are inextricably linked. Sometimes they boil over into each other. I often write about my brother Eamon, who was born when I was 10 years old. I often refer to him as my golden brown brother in the lemon seersucker romper suit. Our mother, a dressmaker, made a lemon seersucker romper suit for him, which he seemed to wear all that summer of 1960, sitting outside our house in his pram with a crust of batch loaf in his fist. When he hears this description of himself at 1 year old, he tells me he must leave his house and go down to the end of his garden and cry long, wailing tears. Are they tears of grief, or is it joy that makes him cry? Perhaps it's a nostalgia for lost years, of yearning for a time when we were young, with all life's possibilities still ahead of us. Whatever it is, it's healing. We always laugh then, he and I, when he tells me, you had me bawling again. But doesn't Patrick Kavanagh nail what I am trying to say here? In his poem, also to his mother, he says, going to second mass on a summer Sunday, you meet me and you say, don't forget to see about the cattle. Among your earthiest words, the angels stray. That's what we must find as we go about our day. Find the sacred, find the joy, find the place where the angels stray. It could be something as simple as sitting with your family on the sofa watching an episode of Father Ted. It hits you like a sledgehammer. My goodness, I am happy. I am happy to be here. Happiness is upon me. The Ohasurum. I don't want to be anywhere else in the world right now, only here with my family, on the sofa. Even with all our confusions and disarray, I wouldn't swap this moment for anything. And above all, we must be kind to each other. But I don't have to tell any of us here today to be kind, because kindness permeates this church's congregation, my beloved community. It was there when I first came to it in 2007, when Bill Darlison stood in this pulpit Sunday after Sunday and urged us to be kind, to be awestruck, to find joy in the ordinary, to find beauty in the natural world all around us. It was there aplenty all the way through Bridget's tenure, and it is there in abundance in the first few months of Gavin's. How lucky are we to have this place to come to each week. I often say to myself after service on a Sunday, if I do nothing else today, my soul has been nourished. Nourished by beautiful words from this pulpit. Nourished by music. Nourished by the affection we have for each other. I will give the second last word to Leonard Cohen. In this very short poem, he urges us to pay attention to love. Recognize it. Don't wait until it is gone before you see what was there in front of you all the time. The poem reads, with Annie gone, whose eyes to compare with the morning sun, not that I did compare, but I do compare now that she's gone. And now, with autumn on its way, with its glorious crisp mornings and low September sun, I will give the last word to Patrick Kavanagh's Raglan Road, which Josh played for us beautifully earlier, when he bravely accepts the pain that comes with deep affection, saying those words that echo deep in my heart. And I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the dawning of the day. Amen.